Hello. Welcome to the provocative world of cis society, where we fearlessly embrace taboos around our sensuality, intimacy, and sexuality, and dive deep into the shadow. This is Taboo Talks, where no topic is off limits. Join us as we expand our compassion and embrace our shadows, bringing them to light. Today, we continue to dive into the multidimensional and hot topic of boundaries. And we are joined by an incredibly amazing guest this week, Ashley Berry. Ashley is a dominatrix, intimacy coach, kink educator, and the co-founder of the Holistic Kink LLC, whose mission is to support folks to cultivate a playful, embodied, consensual, and empowered approach to all of their relations. Welcome, Ashley, to this episode of Taboo Talks. We are very grateful to have you.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here, and I am obsessed with this topic.
Yes, so are we. And given that we are all eagerly excited, I would love to just jump right into the abyss of it all. I took down a few questions here. Let me see which one's coming through for the first one. Okay. How do you establish and maintain clear boundaries as a dominatrix with your clients? Just going straight for it.
Going straight for it. I love that. Yeah, well, it starts from the way that I write the copy on my website and the kinds of clients that I am inviting in through that communication. It's one of the things that I've learned. I've been doing this work for 6 years and just continually getting clearer and clearer about the kinds of clients I want to see. And I think this really applies in the realm of boundaries generally, as we can actually create some more ease by using that discernment and putting thresholds to entry. So I establish those up front and am able to filter a lot of and magnetize the kinds of clients that feel aligned. And then, very, very clear communication from the moment that we start communicating, which is the tone and the language that I'm using to establish that this, in this particular arena is a professional relationship, which feels really important because when we're doing work that's that intimate with people, it's emotional, it's working with sexual energy, it's working often with really young or edgy parts of people, and there's a lot of vulnerability in it. So enabled to be able to create the safety to go into those places, it's really important for me to be super clear that this is not a personal relationship. And that's a place like we're in a gray area with intimacy and relating in a lot of places. And to establish those parameters really clearly early on, I think helps people relax into like, okay, I'm held in this space. And it's also a communication that we're going to have some form of exchange that's going to have a lot of intimacy. And in that, it's my role to hold the structure so that you can relax into it. So it kind of sets that, I would put it in the realm of boundaries that it's really not about that. They get to put their caretaker down. They have to respect the boundaries and whatever consent conversations we're having. But that's a really important piece that I want people to come in with is like, you really get to be here for you. And then once we're in the room, the BDSM and the history of BDSM, the lineage of that has done such an incredible job. It's really been the inception of the current consent conversation that we're having as a culture now. They've really mapped a lot out. And so I've been very grateful to step in and have a lot of those templates already there. And so one necessary aspect of any kind of kink exploration is a negotiation. So, once a give people expectations through email of this is what I need to feel safe to welcome you into my space. This is what I need to communicate to you so that you feel safe coming into a space that can be vulnerable. then we're in the room and the negotiation gets into the nitty-gritty. What do you want? What do you not want? How do you want to feel? I communicate my boundary. I am asking them a lot of questions about what they're interested in and where their limits are and where they're maybe I want to explore and I don't know, what they're super excited about. So I'm getting all that information from them. And then there's a moment where I let them know what my boundaries are. And I have my kind of hard limits and my parameters within the context of being a dominatrix. And just to clarify, because I think this is a misconception that a lot of people can have as well, is that a dominatrix is under the umbrella of the sex work industry. And so to me, it feels very important to be clear and claim that. And it's distinct from a full service provider or an escort in that we don't have sex or any kind of fluid exchange with clients. And it's really about engaging in a power dynamic and exploring Eros and power and myriad other things with people without, you know, conventional definitions of sex, like penetration and anything and any kind of fluid exchange that would put either person at risk. That's all generally off the table for anybody who's a dominatrix. And then people have their specific boundaries within that, and they vary greatly. So yeah, I lay that out really, really clearly in the negotiation, which also helps them feel safer because then they don't have to be guessing or tracking or like, am I going to mess this up? Am I going to cross her boundaries? So that, especially as a professional, is my responsibility to make those things really clear. And then the last piece I'll say about that is once we're in the play, it's such a cool container to be exploring boundaries. Like there's so much built into it that's already inherently about that. You know, we're playing with the edges and exploring. My task is really to support people to either have the experience they're wanting, or if they're not sure what they want, to help them find what it is that they want and what they don't want. So we're kind of often playing on that edge. And then there's also a lot, it's so grounded in play. And so there's a lot of ways if somebody's approaching one of my boundaries that I can address that in the context of a session and with their consent to be in a power dynamic where I'm being in some kind of dom archetype, and there's many different sort of personas or archetypes to play with within that. You know, I can roll that in, and I might ask this in a negotiation. Okay, if you have a moment and you're crossing a boundary, aside from something egregious, I let them know up front, like, here's the things. If you have a serious consent violation, session will end instantly and you will be asked to leave with no refund. But there's such a gray area, and this is something we could dive into in terms of how we navigate boundaries generally as humans. But, you know, there's moments where like they might be in a subspace, which is an altered state when you kind of go into submission, and it's easy to become more nonverbal, or like your people might be like needing to stabilize or something, and they reach out and they touch me somewhere I said you can't touch me unless you ask or something. I can address that based on what they consent to by like punishing them for doing that. And so there's this kind of boundaries training that's built into it as well. And we would pre-negotiate what that might look like, or if they want to just give me free rein to do whatever I want in that regard. And if somebody's not into that kind of feedback, you know, it might just be like, hey, pause, remind you, this is where we're at, or like, oh, they need to hold on to something. So maybe I like put them against a piece of furniture and they have something they can hold on to. Yeah, there's so many directions I could go in with that, but that's just like a, I guess, overview of some of the ways that I communicate boundaries in that role.
There was so much sweet nectar in everything that you shared, just from the beginning stages of cultivating this boundary within the space of how you communicate through your website, to like how you use play and power dynamics in these play spaces. And like, I just, what keeps coming through is the word play. And I I love this so much because I feel like for me at the beginning of my boundary journey, it wasn't play, it was safety. It was like, I'm going to build a wall, I'm putting you over there, and I'm putting you over here. And there wasn't a space to play. And now, as I become more embodied in my boundaries, I feel like it is a space of play and negotiation. And like, okay, like I have non-negotiables for sure, but I'm constantly kind of in play with myself. Like, oh, I wonder if I can like just kind of step over this edge and what that would feel like. And I find that space so beautiful. And I'm just wondering how, in your work as a dominatrix, addressing, declaring, and asserting boundaries, how you implement those boundaries into your everyday life, how you feel like it supports your relationships, what that looks like what you've taken away from this work and how you kind of plug it into the rest of the world.
Yeah, this is huge because it's been a massive transformation for me. Getting into this work has completely changed my life and my relationships. And I'll go back to when I was considering doing it. And that was coming from a lot of kink exploration that I was doing on my own and really finding a lot of juice in terms of unwinding shame, which I would say on the journey of being able to embody boundaries. I really felt like a lot of the shame that I had wrapped in a lot of different places was one thing that really made it difficult for me to communicate or even identify where my boundaries were. You know, there's a lot of freeze or dissociation in that there was for me. And so I was really experiencing a lot of expansion there. And then when I started to consider doing it professionally, one of the major things that came through for me was that my biggest internal oppressor was this good girl archetype. And the good girl in me was really not good at boundaries. She cared about being liked and getting it right and doing things well. And there was a lot of people pleasing and fawning. And so I could see that this particular career path in the art of really learning to embody this archetype and apprenticing. That's how I kind of view it as like apprenticing to the dominatrix archetype was something that I knew was going to help me take this kind of internal oppressor of the good girl off her throne and give me a lot of other options. And over the last 6 years, I'm going to just pause for a moment because I want to think of some really clear examples, rather than maybe just some generalized statements, because there have been so many moments that were like, ah, oh, and they're both moments of when I found the pathway to play, to communicate a boundary playfully, and also the moments where I noticed myself freeze or accommodate, especially in a service position. That's a really interesting dance to do, is somebody's paying for a service and I'm empowered to only do what I want to do, you know, more so than when I was like a waitress or a bartender in a service industry. You know, it's kind of a really nice aspect of this particular role is that people kind of come in expecting to be submissive or deferential, or like, yeah, you're calling the shots. So, that in and of itself was a massive reorientation for me to be in a role and say, like, you're going to come in and you're going to let me know what you want, but ultimately, I'm going to guide what happens here. I got to learn a lot about where that was challenging for me. And for me, a lot of it was like being able to access my creative energy and know what I even wanted. You know, people are like, I want commands. I want you to tell me what to do. And a lot of places I would get stuck is like, I actually have no idea what I want you to do right now. And so the journey of that exploration for me has been both around boundaries and desire and how the two are very, very intimately entwined. And I noticed that the clearer I got about what I did want, it really helped me get clearer about what I didn't. And having that happen in a somatic embodied exploration where there's a lot of built-in consent, even just through safe words, you know, being able to simplify it and say yellow and red rather than needing to have some kind of rationale or explanation for it. Like that no is a complete sentence. The permission of that, I think, is really, really liberating, because it can be hard enough to just say pause. To add trying to make somebody understand or bring somebody into that reality becomes like a whole other kind of a burden, you know, when like the actual need is just for a pause or a stop. And so I didn't know until I started doing more of this work that I could do that, that I didn't have to explain to somebody anything about my boundary. And the feedback loop in that particular role has been so powerful for me, because what I noticed is that in like almost without fail in all of my clients, the clearer my boundaries were, the more unapologetic I was with them, the more like simple and just like to the point and really in my dignity with what I was and was not only okay with, but like excited by. I was like, I'm going to keep guiding you towards what excites me, because that's what you want to experience. And that was a very illuminating thing for me. It kind of got underneath any stories I had that I would get more connection through being accommodating, because the feedback was, if as a dominatrix, I was even a little bit like being accommodating, I would feel them be like, that's not what I came here for.
It's like tantric BDSM, right? You're combining the two elements of those worlds. And also, that means what I'm hearing is you're simultaneously able to like heal and work through some of your own personal issues through this work, which is like just such a beautiful byproduct of serving in this way of like, oh, there's these people pleasing tendencies of like, I want to put you and your needs before me. And like now in my life through this exploration in the bedroom, like I notice that, and people like immediately start to distance. It's like when I'm really honoring what I want, it is magnetic, it is powerful, it is like potently healing, and it demands radical presence. And like there's such a nuance in that space that I love that you're speaking into this right now.
Yeah. And I mean, love to hear even more how like you getting so clear and dissolving that good girl fawning stereotype that you're living in both professionally and personally, how then getting clearer and more boundaried and more discerning of your desires in these play spaces, how that translated over into your intimate relationships outside of your work. That's what I'm really curious to hear about as well.
Yeah, I love that. I love that question. One of the things I've noticed the most is around playing with power dynamics. And so my felt experience of boundaries has shifted a lot over time. What you were saying earlier, Heather, about kind of like creating this wall and like you go on the other side and I'm here, and that's a way of staying safe. I've noticed over time that shifted. And there was one particular moment some years ago when I was at a festival and I was dancing, and the feeling that I had was like, I can feel my energy body completely full with myself. And it created this sense of safety where I noticed I was making eye contact with people more. I was initiating connection on the dance floor, and there was like no fear of like how that would be interpreted, because I could energetically feel that I was so full with my own energy. It wasn't available for anything else to come in. And so that's really how I hold boundaries now, is what is the space that I want to occupy? What do I want inside of that? And how do I communicate my boundaries as an invitation, as a clear description of, this is what I'm available for. This is how I communicate my experience and my reality and my space. It's what I'm available for. If you would like to be a part of that, this is what that looks like. And So with that kind of like as the energetic foundation, playing with power dynamics and the dominant and submissive and switch space, I've found that like it's all a container, that energetic experience, the felt sense experience of the boundaries is like that container. And then when I was able to be like, when I'm in a dominant space, when my attention is focused externally, when I'm providing structure or guiding or leading or the one holding this certainty, like this is the container for that. And when I'm submissive, I have a different set of needs. And when I'm wanting to have my attention be inward and feel really safe and attuned to and surrendered, like this is the container for that. Once I defined what those things were for myself, I moved out of a space of feeling like it was all just this kind of nebulous, jumbled together set of needs, when actually the needs for me to have particular experiences were specific and they were distinct from each other, depending on what experience I was going for. And before I really dove into BDSM work and exploring power dynamics, I didn't have a clear sense of that. So it felt like I was confused. And so when I was trying to communicate with partners or lovers or even friends or people on a dance floor or something, it was like both my language and the energetics of how I was showing up would have a lot of mixed messages because there were different parts that needed different things. And I had yet to identify what those were and what they needed. Once I was like, I'm going to commit all the way to what it feels like to be in a dominant state of attention in this dominatrix role, it helped me become a lot more clear, both energetically and in my communication. And I noticed that just has created a lot of clarity, as well as more, you know, in thinking about tantra or polarity dynamics, it's very difficult to have polarity if there's not clear roles or there's not clear poles of the energetics. And then it all gets into this, it's like taking all of the colors that we can paint with and we just throw them all together and then we have brown. And it's like all the colors are in there, but it's just brown, 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 because we haven't kind of honored them for the distinction of what they are. I don't know if
this is so interesting. I would love to hear you talk a little bit more about this, because I'm sure we can all relate to feeling like we have mixed messages. We're giving out mixed messages. We're receiving mixed messages. We feel this way. We feel that way. We feel this energy from someone. Then we feel that energy from someone. And I'm sure this is just super helpful for anyone listening that wants to add more polarity, wants to add more tantra, wants to add more clarity, more passion into their sex lives, into their intimate relating worlds. So what are some tips and just further clarification around these roles and these poles and how we can more consciously like move from one to the other? And I'm sure what you're going to say is outside of just being a man and a woman too. I'm sure we can play around in all these roles, no matter our gender or sex. But yeah, I would love to hear more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you bringing that in, because I do hold it outside of gender, but I feel like regardless of our gender or who or how many people we're playing with containers, like if we're talking about boundaries, it's creating a container and there's creative constraints in that, right? There's like if you're a painter and you're like, I have all the paint and I could paint anywhere, like it's much more difficult to get into the clarity of creation than if you're like, I have a canvas and these are my parameters right here. Mm-hmm. So dominant and submissive roles are one option for how to create clear roles and clear containers that can really serve polarity. And then, you know, there's the switch, which goes back and forth between the two. And once we know what it feels like in our body to be in both of those roles as distinct poles, it actually also creates the ability to switch between them with clarity of energy and energy exchange that is very different from, like, we don't know what it feels like to be in dominant role. We don't know what it feels like to be in a submissive role. I could also call that, like, you know, there's like penetrative and receptive energy, or yang and yin, or like whatever language you want to use for that. And those things can be embodied by anybody of any gender. And yeah, I was not able to find that fluidity of moving between them until I really, really said, I'm going to go all in on what is it like to explore my submission and what is it like to explore my dominance. And then that in between space became more of a dance and less of the like brown. One thing I'll say about the mixed messages is that part of the benefit of creating those containers is it can help us identify the parts of us that want certain things. So an example is like in a partnership, you know, I might say like, I really like in this moment, I feel a desire to be choked. Like I want pressure on my throat right now, and that feels hot and that feels good. And all I'm aware of in that moment is like, I want that. And then my partner gets the message that that's something I like. Then there's another moment where another part of me is like, I do not want that. And maybe my partner does that based on this other direction I had given at some point. And then I'm like, have a reaction to it because it's so not what I'm wanting in that moment. Creating containers, whether it's dominance and submission, or whether it's kind of like characters or archetypes that we intentionally play with, helps to then kind of, it's helped me to identify like, oh, I have maybe like many, many parts that want different things. And if they're not talking to each other, and if I'm not in conversation with them, then I'm going to be speaking from one at one point that wants one thing. And then when I get that thing, when I'm not connected with that particular part that has that desire, I might just be turned off. I might be reactive. It might actually be traumatizing. So that to me is kind of like a foundational first thing is like, how do we in relationships come in with the awareness that we're going to have different parts that want different things, and start to identify that for ourselves and communicate that with the people that we're in relationship with.
This is so fascinating. I think that everyone listening is probably on the edge of their seats and wondering, like, what is the advice of what does setting up a conversation for a container like this look and sound like? Could you give us some typical questions you might ask, or a script that you may use that people who are listening can use with their partners?
Yeah, absolutely. So say, for example, I'll do this kind of in like a general BDSM context. I might start with, and I want to just disclaim that I'm often talking through the lens of a professional role. And so these conversations may sound different just in partners having that conversation. There might not be one person who's sort of holding that space. So I'm going to try to frame it that way too. But really good questions to ask, like, say we're going to a time container. That's like number one. How long do we want to explore for? That's always an option. Things are organic, you know, it's not obviously always going to be like that, but as a practice of like, let's like once a week or once a month, just sit down and say, we're going to spend 2 hours and we're going to get really clear about what we want to explore. The time container is like that first level of like, we're crossing a threshold, which means we're going into an intentional space. We're going to have an experience. There's going to be a clear closing. We're going to come on the other side of it. And then we're going to like have an integration period. So that's kind of the arc of how I would suggest creating containers to explore that. And then questions that are really helpful are like, what are the top three things that you want to do? Both people can name like, here's three things I'm really interested in. ideally, we're looking for the Venn diagram of desire and taking into consideration where the boundaries are. So those putting those things out there, here's the things we want to do. Okay, what are your hard limits? What are the things that are non-negotiable, you're an absolute no for? What are the things that are in your maybe category? This conversation can be easier to have if whoever is going to be a part of that kind of exploration takes some time individually before you even enter the conversation to write a yes, no, maybe list. I really highly recommend that for everybody, whether it's kink or any kind of intimate exploration. You know, it could be like, I am a yes for penetration with fingers, but not with genitals. I am a yes for some light choking and light hair pulling and light spanking, but I don't want any kind of pain. You know, these are the kinds of things that you can like outline and get really clear. And then maybe in the maybe category, it's like, I think I might like bondage, but I'm not sure. I'm open to exploring that within these parameters. I need it to go really, really slow. I need you to check in with me periodically because I don't know how my body's going to respond or if I'm into some kind of response that makes it harder for me to communicate if I need to pause. I want a nonverbal signal that I can give to say yellow for pause or red for stop in case I go into a space and I don't have access to my words. So those are all things that you might want to get into sharing what you know in the maybe list, because that's the boundaries. Like if we're on a football field and the limit is like out of bounds, or the limit rather is like the bleachers, like the thing we hit that means we're really going to get hurt. In that metaphor, it's a bleacher. That means the boundary is like the out of bounds. So there's a gap between the boundary and the limit, ideally. We don't want our boundaries to be like bumped right up against our limits, because then we don't have a buffer before we can get really hurt or go into some kind of trauma response. So that's really the area that we're playing in and trying to map out, I think, most of the time is like, okay, I know what's in bounds. And I know it's way out of bounds, but what's all this space in between and how far do I want to go there before I feel like I'm starting to contract out of connection or out of my body or out of pleasure? And a lot of the times we don't know what that is until we explore it. So in that maybe zone, in that like, these are the things I'm interested in, but I don't know. Though that's the real like important place to put everything on the table of like, this is what I know about what I need. And actually, what else can I identify about what I don't know? Like, I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to respond. Maybe here's like five options that could happen. What's our game plan for if that happens? So that's like a good starting point. And then the other question I think is really important is, how do you want to feel? Like, what is this in service to? If I'm saying I'm kind of interested in exploring bondage, do I want to feel really held and contained? Do I want to explore a little bit of fear and feeling kind of trapped? Those are two very different approaches. You know, do I want to feel like kind of rough dominated, or do I want to feel like really sensually taken care of? So we're also kind of getting into the nuance of what version of that experience do we want, and what's the underlying feeling that we're really trying to evoke through our play.
I almost cried in you sharing that, honestly, because it's the level of like compassion and communication and safety that is available for us in our intimate relationships is so contrasts to like how I was raised and the messages that I was taught, that it's just really deeply moving to connect to this content and to witness, see, and feel in my body that there's another way to communicate with my intimate partners that's safe, consensual, playful, healing, sexy, pleasurable, edgy. And, woo, yeah, I'm feeling like so much electricity in my body after that share. And I just want to thank you for sharing that. And what came up in the middle of it was, are there like resources or books that you suggest around this specific concept of creating boundaries and getting more playful with our partners? Like, is there something in that dimension that you would suggest to share with the listeners so they can dive more deeply into this, other than working with you directly, obviously, which I highly suggest.
I also love that. So you're welcome for that. But the first book that comes to mind is classic, The Wheel of Consent. Betty Martin has outlined some really straightforward but also very nuanced exercises and a map for opening these kinds of conversations about what we want and why and what's the energy behind it and getting really, really clear about those roles. So I highly recommend The Wheel of Consent. And then kink specific, one of the books that comes to mind is Sacred Kink by Lee Harrington. Lee Harrington has several books and he's really clear and comprehensive and dialed in. But that book in particular, it's more BDSM specific, but it outlines a lot of different pathways and containers to explore BDSM from a place of like, from a spiritual lens and a place of getting clear about kind of our underlying why. And how different paths of exploration within the larger kink umbrella might help us get to where we want to go, rather than just kind of like jumping in without any sense of how many different options there are for how we can approach that kind of place. So that anything by Lee Harrington is really great for kink specific. And, you know, I've been putting together a resource list. That's something I imagine we'll share my website. But there is a resource list that we'll be posting in the next, I don't know when this is going to go live, but week or so, that has a bunch of books and articles. And so that'll be a free resource for people. But I've yet to find one specifically on negotiation. I'm looking for that. And if I don't find it, I might need to write.
The power we're three witches, so the power of three witches can like magnetize in. But I think you're meant to write it. I think that's what's coming through right now. Like, yours. You're the torch, babe. Wow, thank you for sharing those resources. And I'm looking forward to diving into them. And something else that came up is just like, I keep having this vision as you're talking of like where we were collectively sexually, and it's like an ocean, right? It's like kind of intense and vast, and there's these dark pools, and we're like, and there are these big creatures, and we don't really know how to navigate it. And I feel like we're moving into like the creation of like a container, like a swimming pool, and we're recognizing and realizing that we get to build this swimming pool however we like, with the tiles that we like, with the temperature of the water that we like. And it's becoming super nuanced and specific, and there's so much safety in that. And that's like one of the biggest downloads around boundaries that I've had, is how directly linked they are to safety. Like, if things are clear and transparent and honest and grounded, my body, my mind, my spirit all feel incredibly safe. And yeah, I'm wondering like if you experienced a similar process in your journey and what shape that took, like through your work, through your coaching, through your dominating, and like how you see those two playing together. I would love to hear you articulate that.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up, because it brings me back to the first question of how I established them there. And when I go back to when I first started doing this work, I was like, I need a small swimming pool to swim in to start. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to just jump in the ocean. It was something that I sensed for myself, because I was really coming in very green, and wanted to create safety for myself. And that was also recommended to me. I trained at a at a dungeon space, which is a space for people to explore kink. And there's public dungeons, and then there's private dungeons where you can go and have sessions with dominatrixes. And this was a collective. So I got to learn from a lot of different people. And one of the things people really emphasized was like, start with your boundaries closer in. You can always expand them later. And that was a really helpful principle for me stepping in, is like, here are the things I absolutely know that I'm not just a like, yeah, I'll do that. But that I'm like, I'm really excited about these things. And I just kept my boundaries there. And then slowly over time, if the right person would come in and I'd be like, huh, that's not on my public list, but I'm excited about that with you. So I can open, my body feels safe to do that with you. So I can open that door here. But it's so much easier to start with our boundaries closer in, especially in new endeavors, and let them expand over time, than to just be really open and expansive and try to pull them back in later. That's a much harder process, because we generally will have to go through some kind of repair, either with ourselves and our own parts or with other people. And then we're adding a lot more work and effort. Whereas like the other direction just lets us, has let me stay more regulated and to go slow. Like I'd say when it comes to boundaries, generally, one of the things that has really imprinted upon me is that we just can't go too slow. And it doesn't mean that there's not times where I'm like, woo, I'm like ready and I'm a full fuck yes. And I'm like off to the races in this, you know, I've gone to play parties before and just been like, I am lit up right now. Like, who wants like who wants to be flogged? Or like, what toys do we have? Or like, I want to watch this. Or like, you know, there's like all of this energy, but that's coming from a place over time of already establishing the safety and the self-trust to know that I can pause and pull back if I'm going too fast. But I got there by slowing down and starting off really slow.
Mm-hmm. Spectacular advice. And I keep seeing this flower blossoming, right? The concept of opening. I've been in two consecutive open relationships. One, which was very slow moving, safe, contained. And the other one that was just like, no boundaries, everything, all of it goes. And my soul needed both in order to grow and expand. But what felt really safe and continues to in my body is to move at like a snail's pace. And then once you create that safety and healing, like the boundaries start to soften a bit and you're like, oh, I can go a little bit further. I'm like, oh, like I've successfully played safely, like in this pool in which I can see everything. And now I'm going to expand the pool, you know, like let's reconstruct a new pool and make it a little bit bigger. And so that process has been really, really sacred and special for me. And yeah, I love that advice so much. Like, thank you for sharing that and really anchoring that in this conversation. And I feel like Alfina has something to say. I can just like cute little elf eyes lighting up, like ready, ripe for the picking. Get in there, baby.
We're so in sync. We don't even need to say anything. Yeah, this conversation couldn't come at a more appropriate time, as I'm going to a play party tomorrow night. And I'm the one that comes in with the vlogger. Ready to go. And something I just want to touch on before ending this call is this word consent that goes so neatly with boundaries. And for those of us that maybe we feel more open, more expanded, and we're able to communicate more clearly on what it is that we want and what it is that we feel comfortable with, how do we really check in and make sure we have that consent with other people in these spaces? Because sometimes people freeze, sometimes people fawn, sometimes people will give us right mixed messages. And so I think it's also really important to also talk about the other perspective of consent and recognizing the energies of people and making sure that even something as harmless as like spraying rose water on people. To me, I'm like, oh, everyone wants rose water, but like some people are really sensitive and they break out with the rose water. And so like, this is something I've learned in my journey of really checking in, gaining permission, getting more and more consent. So I'm not crossing the boundaries of other people. So I would just love to touch on that. If you have advice for people, just simple strategies, tools, techniques for how we can really be more consensual in these spaces as well.
Yeah, well, it's perfect. Because what I was feeling as you were sharing, Heather, was this phrase that came through at some point around specifically kink and being able to identify boundaries, which is going at the pace of consent. And that's going to be different for everybody. So I think that's a helpful thing to, especially if people we have ongoing relationships with, like, how much time do we each need to properly assess our own consent? And can we give ourselves enough time? And if we're making a request or we're engaging with somebody or offering an invitation of some kind, like really creating a lot of space for the person to feel into their embodied yes and no. So that's one thing that has been a practice for me, of like letting myself go as slow as I need to go with a response, and also really inviting somebody to take their time with a response, you know, specifically noticed around like emotional consent. That was a massive edge for me to like open a conversation, and then someone might need a couple days to be like, I need to check in if I'm resourced to have this conversation. And all of this stuff can get kicked up, has for me, like attachment stuff, and like I'm having all these feelings in the space of that pause or the space of the silence can be uncomfortable. So that's one thing I would say in terms of any consent conversation relationally, is like the more aware we are of what our responses are in relation to inviting something and there being just like silence or stillness or like some response other than just an enthusiastic yes. Like, I think that all internal work can be really helpful when we approach somebody else, because we're kind of taking some factors off the table. Like, we're making some unknowns into knowns. Like, okay, if I know that I have a rejection sensitivity, then I can figure out how to resource myself so that A, I feel comfortable inviting something that I might receive a no for, and that I can be really respectful and celebratory of somebody else's no, because I've done some work to be able to resource myself if I have feelings of rejection come up. I think a lot of that preparatory work going in can help. But
I love the celebratory of the no, just to like ding, ding, ding that one of like, oh, thank you for taking care of yourself. Thank you for honoring your truth. Like, instead of making it about us and not hurt feelings, it's like, wow, I really like honor your no.
Yeah, well, yeses and nos are both in service to pleasure, right? So there's kind of a lens shift there. If we're valuing consent and we're valuing pleasure and we're inviting something that we're like, this would be pleasurable for me, would it be pleasurable for you? Hearing that person's no as them saying yes to pleasure, saying no to what's not pleasure, and like opening the space for themselves to experience what they want. Like, that's such a helpful paradigm shift where it's like nothing about that is personal at all. Like, it's just like, and it's, for me, it builds trust and this feels, makes me feel safe, because I'm like, thank you for being willing to A, take care of yourself and follow your pleasure, but also to keep me safe, because I don't want to be doing anything with somebody where it's not like a full yes. Like, that's a self-preservation thing also.
And it leaves the room for negotiation open too. It's like, oh, you don't want me to flog you, but maybe you want to cuddle or something. Like, it creates curiosity for a different type of connection, which is more authentic for that person and more authentic for the connection.
I love that. And you saying that makes me also think about the kinds of invitations we're offering. And it's like a pacing thing as well. It's like, okay, I could come in with a super specific request, and then if that's a no, but it doesn't feel like the person's leaning out, right? Like, because what you're speaking to is tracking consent. Verbal, if we're not really intimately connected or attuned with somebody yet, then we want to get verbal consent. Like, that's really the safest way to actually know where they're at and where they're not, because we haven't maybe known them well enough to read their signals. But then also
interject too, like verbal consent, not just in the bedroom and at a kink and play space, but in like all spaces of your life. Like, can I hug you, for example? Like, I just wanted to zoom out quickly. And just like pinpoint that thread, because I live in a spiritual community where everyone's just hugging. And there's so many times before I even knew that this was a possibility to speak into where I just didn't want to be touched, you know? And so this is like as above, so below work, and it shows up everywhere in our life. And anyway, I just wanted to share that quickly, and please continue. Thumbs up.
I know what you're saying so well, and not assuming anything, right? Like, yeah. Not assuming anything, and then just being really humble about it. If somebody reflects that we have made an assumption that they consent, you know, it's like, that's all so such helpful feedback. So like, we're going to get it wrong sometimes. Like, we're all figuring it out together, and being grateful for, thank you for like showing me how to love you well, showing me how to relate with you well, is really what the boundary is like, I'm willing to invest enough here to let you know how I want to be approached or taken care of or related with or whatever. Like, that's a gift. And it's easy to make the assumption that everybody wants a hug. Like, for some folks, that's like, why wouldn't you want to hug me? But we have no idea what's going on for people, right? Like, we have no idea. And it could, yeah. Anyway, I'm not going to go off on that tangent, but like,
if you want to, you can.
Well, like, I just appreciate you bringing in that this is everywhere. I mean, honestly, one of my like foundational, like, if not the foundational spiritual practice and highest value that I have is consent. To me, that practice of tuning in with our whole selves, all of our parts, like really getting intimate with our consent conversation with ourselves as the baseline, as a spiritual practice, feels so, it's like the linchpin of being able to create the experience that we want. And I don't really think that we can totally wrap our heads around consent and respecting others' consent if we're not respecting our own, and we're not assuming that we get to have a say in the experience we want to have, knowing that there's shit that happens that's out of our control. But there's so much, if we're really tuned in to consent, that we can be directing and guiding the experiences of our lives through that practice of moment to moment. Like, for me, it's like a subtler and subtler and subtler, like, oh, I noticed just like a tiny little contraction right there when that person came in the room. I used to probably be like codependent, over empathizing, or like if someone like comes in, it's like, oh, my body just like contracted a little. My mind would be like, well, maybe they need to like be brought in. Maybe there's something there, and connection will help, and all these weird stories. But now I'm kind of like, I have no idea why my body did that, but I'm going to go ahead and follow that, because it's like,
yeah,
that connection away from that direction is also towards some other direction that's probably going to be more aligned. And I'll just wrap that into what I was going to say around the nonverbal piece, is that we're establishing verbal consent, but we're also watching body signals. And like that, as an example of, if we're moving towards somebody for a hug, we can do our best to practice attuning. Like, somebody might just like move way back, but they might also just like slightly move back. And if we train ourselves to pay attention to that and get curious and be like, oh, sorry, is this okay for me to be in proximity? Like, taking the information that we're given non-verbally and verbally, I think there's actually a lot of information there available a lot of the time, but we need to just train our attention to be able to perceive it.
Yeah, we're strengthening the source of our intuition energetically and physically. And one way that I strengthen this is by practicing boundaries with myself. Like if I'm going to into a self-pleasure practice or ritual with myself, like asking my body or my yoni permission to be touched, right? So like it's a really beautiful, compassionate way to like begin to practice these concepts of consent without another being. Or walking into nature, you know, and saying like, I feel like picking flowers, and not just picking any flower, but really tapping into that field and like asking permission to that individual flower. You know, it sounds like kind of like hippy dippy and out there, but it's just like a really powerful way to like strengthen the source of the potency of our intuition. Mm-hmm. So yeah, thank you for speaking into that.
Oh my God, I love that so much. Both of those. Mm-hmm. The first one you mentioned, I was like,
That and even with my cool. Even with my partner, I usually ask him to ask my yoni permission, like most every time, because it just like really turns my yoni on. Like it's like sometimes it's like a night and day difference where she just opens up so much, just with a simple consent check in, and that's all that we need to really feel safe. So yeah, this is a really beautiful way to end this conversation. Thank you so much. It's been so juicy, so rich, so supportive for I'm sure everyone that's listening.
Yeah, my heart has exploded into a million pieces. So grateful for your presence and the path that you walk on this planet and how important it is. And I really believe that the pathway to healing our sexuality is the most potent root of our healing, because it's the source and energy of which we're made and created. Like we're created through orgasm. And so like, that's the root. And so, yeah, just thank you infinitely for your work on this planet. And also just inviting, before we wrap, anything else that you'd like to share, Ashley, that might be coming through your channel in service to this topic of boundaries and consent?
Yeah. One is a resource, and one is another thing, a resource I forgot to say that just feels so helpful is the RBDSMA conversation. So I'm just going to drop that in. Googleable.
Yeah.
So good. Yes. It's a foundational, clear communication. Get on the same page with people you want to relate with any level of intimacy. And just great to practice. And then I think the heart of what's coming through is like that we get to have boundaries. There's something there around the permission where I feel like, there's this misconception that boundaries is somehow the opposite of connection in this way. It's like we're either like merged in connection or there's a boundary there and we're not connected. So I just want to speak into that from my perspective, and it's why I've built my entire intimacy coaching practice around having healthy boundaries, is that boundaries are essential for connection, and they are what creates the clarity and the safety and the sense of contained sovereign wholeness that allows us to step into connection and create interdependence as two whole contained beings, rather than the codependence of becoming enmeshed where we actually lose ourselves and lose the connection, because we can't see each other in our like fucking divine, glorious, whole illusion of separateness, whatever it is, you know, like there's something really essential there about that dance of the boundary and the intimacy on this planet is what on this planet, whether we like it or not. So feels way more fun and playful to embrace it.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Oh,
yes. I'm like tickling all over. And I keep redefining my definition of boundaries, and it's like taking a new shape and form now. But it's like, imagine you come to this planet and there's like an ever-evolving guide that you can hand people and say, this is exactly how I desire to be loved. And I want to know exactly how you desire to be loved so I can serve you and you can serve me in the highest pillar of truth and honoring and safety and in abundance and all of it, you know? And that's what I'm really beginning to like tap into the frequency of the truth of how synonymous intimacy and boundaries are, how they're one and the same, and how they do create these spaces of safety and healing and vulnerability in relationship, and how integral they are in order to like fully reclaim our love with ourselves and to fully really show up for another being. So thank you for like putting a bow on this like incredibly beautiful and magnificent conversation. I am just so grateful that you joined us today, and thank you for allowing us to see your heart and your work and your clarity and your intention. And I'm wondering, and I'm sure people listening are wondering, how can people continue to connect with you, work with you, drop in with you, follow you, support you, all of it? What is the best channel for people to reach you?
Yeah, thank you so much for this whole conversation. And so I have more than one channel because there's so much that flows through. So one of them is through holistickink.com. That is really focused on kink-specific offerings. We have a donation-based monthly discussion group. All the information on that is there for anybody interested in diving into topics around kink specifically. That's a great place to start. We also have a course called Holistic Kink 101 that is on our website right now for sale. And you can email us through that. And then my coaching practice is goldsoulprocess.com. And that's for one-on-one work or couples work or work with polycules or people that is kink friendly, but really specific onto this track of boundaries and intimacy and how they intersect. And we can be found on Instagram as well at Holistic Kink, and I am Gold Soul Coach. So those are the big ways.
Beautiful bridges to your heart and to your work. I love it so much. Thank you, Ashley. Thank you, Alfina, for being here. I love you. I'm grateful for you being my divine soul business partner. And thank you to each of you for tuning in to this episode of Taboo Talks. We would not be here without you. We are infinitely grateful for your presence and attention. And we invite you not to miss a single second of these conversations where we continue traversing the new earth with leading minds like Ashley and beyond. You can subscribe on Spotify and Apple Podcasts to follow us, and be sure to look for Cis Society Taboo Talks. And if this resonated, please, please, please share, like, forward this conversation to someone that you feel would resonate with it. We are so grateful for the continued support. And if you're interested in joining conversations like this, you can send us a message on our Instagram at Cis Society World to be added to our private WhatsApp community, where your important voice and heart gets to be heard. Stay sensual, stay curious, and remember, the only thing taboo is not talking about it. We'll see you next time. Thank you for joining us. We love you. Aho.